Today on Real Life Radio.
A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. How do you know your marriage is going to endure attack? You don't until it's under attack. As Christians, we're being tested all the time. But God's infinite love will carry us through.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. There are so many ways biblical truth is being challenged these days. With AI, social media, and fake news influencing our culture, how do we decipher truth from fiction? In Pastor Jack's new book called Living in the Days of Deception, he'll untangle the truth from the lies that seem to assault us from every direction. He'll not only identify the characteristics of deceivers, but how to recognize the deceptions that are altering and even replacing the truth. You'll be encouraged as he pinpoints the key to standing strong as these spiritual battles intensify. So equip yourself now from being fooled by the counterfeits that have grown more and more difficult to detect. Order Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Order now and you'll receive exclusive bonus video content by Pastor Jack. Go to jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, jackhibbs.com/days. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his new series, 1 Peter, with a message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 2. Now, the Apostle Peter, with words of encouragement, arrives just in time to bring comfort and inspiration to all the Christ followers of his day. You see, Peter understood how hard it was to stay focused on Christ in times of trouble, and, of course, our need for encouragement. But he also knew how hardship helps us grow in our faith. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that Christians today can learn so much from Peter's life. A simple Galilean fisherman who was chosen and ordained by God to be an eyewitness of the person of Jesus. Now with his message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And Father, we pray that you would speak to us from your word. This morning, Father, I pray that you would shine the power of your word into our hearts. God, that we would leave this service today absolutely energized as your people. And Father, if there's anyone here today that is not yours, that you would intensify that reality. This is not a church service for church service sake. We're not out here in a tent to somehow mock a revival or conjure one up. We're not even a group of people to spend a Sunday morning doing some religious thing. I am begging of you, Father, with my brothers and my sisters this morning, that you would invade this service. Holy Spirit, that you would seize the moment. We seek to honor Jesus and him alone. We exalt your word to our hearing. And we pray, Father, that you would transform us. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
You can be seated. And this morning, keeping your Bibles open there to 1 Peter, we're looking at a message that is entitled, Anchored to the One True God. The Bible says that there's one true God. One, not many, not two, not three, not 10, not 20. One true God. And that is the God of the Bible. The Bible says that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he's the God eternal. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Bible says that he's the first and the last. The Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says that no man can come to the Father but through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible also says that God in these last days has called out for himself a people. And God is determined to call that people group the church. It's not a tent like you're in right now. It's not a building. It's not a structure of any physical existence. It's literally the church, the ecclesia, meaning the gathering of people. We could uproot ourselves from this arena and go on the side of a hill or on a mountain and be the church of God just as accurately as we are here right now. Walking in and out of a building doesn't mean that you went to church and that you left the church. If today you are a born-again believer, Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. If you are a born-again believer, you are part of the fiber and sinew of the church. And the Bible says that God has called certain people within the church to hold certain places of ministry service. Now, it's interesting, if you read the fine print, everyone in the church has been given a gift or a calling to exercise to the edification that is the building up of the church body. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you're a Christian today. I'm just going to make an assumption that you're all Christians today. That would mean that the Holy Spirit has given you at least one gift of God to exercise, that is to use, so that others are benefited by that spiritual gift. It's called being the church. And one of those is the man Peter. Peter is the man, and we looked at his background last time. If you weren't here, you can go online and look at more of our introduction. But Peter was a man, as you'll see here, the fact that he's Peter. The Bible says he's Peter, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name Peter, we know that from last time that he's identified by three different names, Cephas, Peter. His Hebrew name, Simeon, we would say Simon, but Simeon, that's how the Jews knew him. If Peter's mother was calling Peter to come in for supper, she would have said, Simeon, come here. That's his name. You know him and you refer to him as Peter because that's the name Jesus gave him. And that's the name that you'll often find in the Bible, Peter, but not exclusively. It's, again, Cephas is in the scripture. That's another name of his. But Peter goes by his name. You go by your name. And people call you who know you by your name. If somebody doesn't know you, they'll say, hey, come here. Your name's not hey, but they're trying to relate to you. They're trying to get your attention. Listen, you have a name, and people who know you call you and relate to you by your name. God says, Jesus said, your name's Cephas, but from here on out, you're going to be called Peter. And the word Peter means stone. Some of your Bibles in the notes that the translators have put, some may have inaccurately put the word Peter means rock. It doesn't mean rock, it means stone. It might be easier to say rock, but it simply means stone, that you are this and now you're going to be a stone. Jesus has given him a name. And I love the fact that God relates to him and relates to you and I personally. And then secondly, notice in your Bible, we saw it last time, that he's an apostle. And you ought to circle that word because the word apostle simply means that he is God's appointed messenger. And we saw the meaning of that word last time. And against those, by the way, in some hyper-charismatic movements, they might say, well, we're of the apostolic movement. And what does that mean? Well, this is Apostle Fred. This is Apostle Wilma. This is Apostle Barney. This is Apostle Betty. And everybody's an apostle. But yet the word in the New Testament is exclusive, that when it says the Apostle Peter, it's referring to a group of 12 that exclusively saw Jesus in a certain way. Peter was an apostle because, listen to this, the authority given to him and why he says I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ is because he was an eyewitness of the person of Jesus. Can you imagine that? He saw Jesus walk. He listened to him talk. He knew the tone of his voice. He saw Jesus do things. If Jesus had a certain stride or gait to his movement, Peter watched that. Isn't that amazing to think? How did Jesus eat? Was he right-handed or left-handed? Did he drink with his right hand or his left hand? Did Jesus ever make anybody laugh? All those amazing things that you and I won't know, in this world anyway, Peter knew. And he's announcing, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's not making it up. He's got no degree from Jerusalem University. This is an assignment given to him by God. He's been touched, ordained, and called by God. And I love the fact, as we looked at it last time, he's a simple Galilean fisherman, a man that has been reported in scripture among a few of the others as being uneducated. But those who knew him attested to the fact that he had been with Jesus, that his life had been completely changed and become a different man. And we saw that last time very quickly. It was point number one regarding being anchored, Christian, to the true God, to the one true God. We saw that part of that anchoring is understanding that there's an indivisible care that God gives to us, that God cares for you in an undivided way. And why is this important? Because the Bible tells us that Peter is speaking to a group that has been dispersed, known as the diaspora, that is that they've been driven out. And they need to hear what Peter is saying. And he wants them to know that God's care for you, think about it right now, God's care for them being driven to the other parts of that known world. We'll show it to you in a moment. But what about you today? All of the pain, all of the issues, all of the drama, the jobs. I've been meeting people. Boy, lots of people. I'm going to be meeting a lot more here at this church, saying goodbye. Pastor, and they got tears in their eyes. We're having to leave. The corporation I work for is closing down. We're moving to Texas. We're moving to Nevada. Our companies are leaving California. You know how many companies are leaving California? And it affects churches. It affects people. And they're going out. They're being, as it were, driven out to a foreign land. They don't want to go, but they got to go. And they're leaving with regret, or they're leaving with sorrow. And now that's a very small scale of what happened to these people. They were driven out because of the persecution of Emperor Nero. Nero launched a persecution. We looked at it last time. That was beyond brutal. And he was killing Christians wholesale. And Peter thought it would be good, according to the Holy Spirit, of course, to encourage the people that God cared. So we learned about the man Peter. We learned about his calling, that is an apostle. But thirdly, in verse 1, we learned about the fact that it is the very people that have been driven to areas of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And I showed a map last week quickly, and several of you made a comment. And they said, these almost sound like fairy tale names. I don't get it. Well, let me show you the map we showed you last week and then an overlay to kind of make it more current. This is what I showed you last week. Way to the north, just in the northern area of that finger, that is the Black Sea, today Russia. But right there on that point of that northern finger, Bithynia and Pontus. This is where they lived. Peter's writing, look at my hand. He's writing way over here from the west. He's in Rome, and he's writing this letter to make it all the way to this region to the east. When we talk about Asia, more specifically, it's Asia Minor. And I'll show you that in a moment. Look at just below the word Asia. Do you see the word Ephesus? You know that from your Bible. Both the book of Ephesians and the book of Revelation speak regarding Ephesus. There's Colossae to the right, Antioch, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, Tarsus, Antioch, again, of Syria, Damascus, way down at the bottom, Galatia, Cappadocia, Cilicia, and Syria. That's the region of the time of Peter's writing. Now look at the overlay. This is today. We'll drop this on top, and very faintly you can see those old words. Now, bold, Ankara, Turkey. Look to the top left where the isthmus is. You see that once was Constantinople. Now it's under Islamic control and renamed Istanbul. Ephesus is now Izmir. Anyway, this is a region that is now controlled by Islam. You know it today as Turkey. So hopefully that helps you understand that when we talk about Turkey and when we talk about these places, these are not fairy tale kind of out of Star Wars kind of names or Lord of the Rings. These are real people in real places, and they're running for their lives. They've lost family. They've lost jobs. They've lost their source of provision, and they're on the run. They're on the road for one name, for the name of Jesus. Yes, I know we're discomforted by living now in a tent. Can you imagine having to be on the road every day? You're running for your life like ISIS has done in these last several years regarding the believers in that part of the world in Syria and Iraq. Think of the commitment these people had, that they had heard a message that was so liberating and powerful that they were willing to leave their homes and everything to not only save their own lives, but to stay on their Christian journey. They could have denounced Christ. They didn't do it. I wonder how many times Peter was impressed by that. Remember, Peter denied Jesus? Peter's writing to a group of people that did not deny Jesus. And I wonder how much respect he had for them.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so, church, mark it down as we look at this. Look at the second thing, and that we are anchored to His infinite love. That's today's teaching. That we are anchored to His infinite love. This God of ours that we know as believers, we are anchored to God's infinite love. And if you're a note taker, I need you to write that down because it's vitally important for where we're going. We're going to put on some boots and we're going to get ready because we're going to tread into some deep water and it's healthy for us. And again, it's something that is essential. These people, their faith was being tested. I have a great fan. I mean, I'm a fan of his. He's not a fan of mine. I'm a fan of his. He's in heaven now. The man is Dr. Adrian Rogers. Anybody ever heard of Dr. Adrian Rogers? The guy's an absolute biblical animal. You want to hear a sermon? Go to YouTube and type in Dr. Adrian Rogers. The guy's amazing. Anyway, Dr. Adrian Rogers talks about those that are being driven that are here in 1 Peter. And this is what he says. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. How do you know your marriage is going to endure attack? You don't until it's under attack. How do you know that your wife is faithful? Well, you won't know unless that wife puts down advances that come her way. How do you know if your husband's faithful when he's away on that job in some other state and there's a knock at his hotel room door? You won't know until there's the test. There's got to be a test to everything regarding our faith. And these people were being tested. As Christians, we're being tested all the time. But God's infinite love will carry us through. Now, I don't know about you, but when we talk about God's infinite love, this is a love, I don't know how you view it. Now, look, we're all different people. Do you view that with roses and you know, how do you view it? Now, I'm a guy. I don't view it in roses or flowers or bouquets or candy. I'm a guy, so I view the infinite love of God. I view it like kind of gnarly looking. I mean, I see God in my mind's eye, and I see Him wearing armor. I see Him dressed in garb that prevents Him from losing. I see God forging His way through a world that is dark and sinister to find me and to rescue me. I see God's love incredibly resilient, faithful for sure. There's no such thing as a passive love. You don't want to be involved in a passive love. You know, someone who's involved in a passive love, you got to say things like this: do you love me? You have to ask a question like that of that someone who's exercising a passive love. Now, look, I may get stoned after service for saying this stuff, but if you love somebody, you're more into showing them rather than saying it. Aren't you glad God's like that? God could say, "Hey, Jack, I know you're feeling a little down today, but I already told you in the Bible I love you, so deal with it." He could say something like, "I had the sun come up this morning, didn't I? I put the sun down at night. Of course I love you." Now, you know what? I need more of an interaction than that. And nobody appreciates a passive love. I thank God that our God has an infinite love, and it's an engaging love, and it's a powerful love, and it's very practical. I love that about Him. And the more you gravitate into His word, the more you find out and the more you discover His love for you. He loves you infinitely. But church, listen, family, how much do you appreciate and experience that love? It is fully available to you. How much have you allowed it to soak in, as it were? So that, listen, God's infinite love, mark it down if you would, we learn in verse 2, is that it is a love that is determined. When I say determined, I mean a purposed love. God says to them, He says to us, and it says there in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Look at it in its context. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion or the diaspora, he lists those regions. Notice verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Circle the word elect in your Bibles. The word means this. It means chosen, selected, appointed. The word can be said, one who is chosen by being taken up out of and taken over and set into. The word implies that God has, listen, in the doctrine of election, he has taken you who are a believer, took you out of the world and put you over now into his world. It's very simple. By the way, you know, it's so simple that all Peter says to those people that need the encouragement is, hi, everybody, you who are the elect of God. He doesn't write a book. He doesn't fill a library with an explanation. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this. People, churches have split over this word I just asked you to circle, election, the doctrine of election. People will say, oh, what does that mean? Well, the Bible says what it means. And then there's, look, there's this group over here. There's this group that says it means this. And there's a group over here and says it means that. These people won't talk to those people. They won't go to church with them. There's these great scholars who quote all these great scholars. And then there's this group and they quote all the, are you with me? They'll get knocked down, drag out fights over this issue. Can you imagine? Let me sarcastically rephrase this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the will of God, to the elect, all of you, duke it out and may the best man win. They're hurting. They're running for their lives. And Peter, don't miss it, Peter instantly gives them a word of comfort. Elect. It's to bring you comfort, not to get you into a fight with other believers. And the word means that God chose you. God selected you. And we'll see in a moment that the Bible says that God did this before the world was ever created. I find that wonderful. I find that comforting. This is a very important thing. In my notes, I just wrote down, I love this wonderful, comforting doctrine that God elects those that are his. Now listen, just lay it down right now. Here we go. You hanging on? The people who are comforted by that, oh yes, according to God's election, he's chosen his own kids. I'm comforted by that. Are you comforted by that? I hope you are. I just love it. Amen. Hallelujah. It kind of gets me excited about living the rest of my Christian life. And then there's the people that want to argue and they want to gripe about it and they want to get all involved in it. By the way, I find a lot of those people, there's people who are non-Christians. They don't even believe in God. And they want to talk about this. It kind of sounds like this. So you're a Christian, huh? That's right. Oh, so your God sends people to hell, huh? Have you ever had that happen to you? No, he actually doesn't. Well, isn't there a hell? Yeah. Well, aren't there people in it? Yeah. See, he sends them to hell. No, that's not what the Bible says. Listen, everything that we're going to learn about God is based upon his infinite love. God by nature and character is love. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. God tells us, listen, God tells us to preach the gospel to everybody. God tells you and I to share the gospel with those that we know, those that we don't know, right? Does he not say that? Listen, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God says in the Bible that I've given to certain people the gift of an evangelist. Listen, if your entrance into heaven or hell is already predetermined to this, to the point where you don't make a decision, then why did God give the gift of an evangelist to people? It is vitally important. Now, God knows all things. You and I do not, not even close, right? God is eternal. He's not a human. God doesn't live according to our time. I'm not 20 minutes and 9 seconds into this message. That's my time zone. God is eternal. And that brings me great comfort because the Bible teaches us clearly. Listen, in John chapter 17, verses 6 and 14, Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 2. Thank you for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called First Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we will continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Jesus warned us, that in the end times, deception, like a virus, will spread like wildfire. Disguised as the answer to all our problems, our secular culture can only offer replacements to the truth. The good news is that the truth of the Bible is the cure. In Pastor Jack Hibbs' new book called Living in the Days of Deception, he exposes the lies with knowledge, experience, and scripture. In a world of deceit, this book is a powerful tool for answers and for truth. From the inspiring foreword written by Mike Pompeo to the final chapter, Living in the Days of Deception is a powerful must-read. Let the deception of this world stop here. Order Living in the Days of Deception today by making a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Order now and you'll receive exclusive bonus video content by Pastor Jack. Go to jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. jackhibbs.com/days. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.